Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to the Extra Hour. I am Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. And, oh, if you missed the ninth tactic, we covered it in the first first hour, and we have just a couple more to go.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how God's light counteracts that darkness. And he tells us, we're giving you a strategy how to stand when those around you are trying to organize you to the furnace or to the camps or just to get their way to a maybe a new world order. It's almost like a new world order. Oh, my goodness. Do not mention helicopters in the color of them. Jiminy crickets.
I told you.
Jiminy crickets. Yeah, the it's the Nephilim.
It's the Nephilim. They're back.
It's the Nephilim.
Oh, my goodness.
They're in government now. Well, you think about it. The angels came and slept with the daughters of men.
Daughters of men.
Mm. Yeah, and then you had politics. No,
wow.
That's yikes. Just joking. We're having a little fun here. I don't think that's true, quoted by Pat Hamilton. He's the one that did the Nephilim study.
Oh, I
didn't do any Nephilim study.
Somebody had to.
Keep it straight. You know, did you read John 3:16 when you first got saved? Did you see the kingdoms? No, this is Nephilim thing. I saw this Nephilim thing.
Well, you know, I started at Genesis. I worked my way
through. I see.
I couldn't get past that part.
I read the whole thing. Don't know what it said, but I tell you, somebody corners me and asks me the question.
Now
he's, you know, obviously.
Oh.
You know.
It's profound.
He's profound.
Well, you know, before we ended the first hour, we're talking about Israel and their right to protect themselves, no matter if they have to stand alone. They've done this many, many times before.
I think it's important to let our audience know this is not a first. They've been around since 1948, and they realized they have to do this.
Yeah, well, since before, as a nation, since 1948. Yeah. And they have to do this. They have to. And you think about the patience of Israel, and under that consistent threat, and they continue to seek, you know, diplomacy, they continue to seek peace, they continue to speak with and try to come to a peaceful, you know, existence with those that have openly said, we want to destroy you and take you off the face of the map.
Mm-hmm.
We just played a portion of it. We're going to continue to play the rest of it for
you. Is that Ahmadinejad, President Ahmadinejad?
Yes, he's no longer president.
Right.
But that's who it is.
Okay. You gotta see this, because
of course, we're gonna make this related for you on the torch so you can watch it in its entirety. But we're gonna play the rest of it because we ended the first hour with this short video program. But what we were talking about, how Iran cannot get these nuclear weapons, and Israel's probably right about to take action pretty soon. We've talked on previous and shared on VFN Radio that twice already, Israel was about to strike these nuclear reactors twice. And once the head of the Mossad, which is the Israel CIA undercover, these guys are just elite deadly.
Want them on your side.
Oh, yes. They will find you. They will find you.
Even in the Arab Emirates, right?
Oh, yes. Nothing will stop them. But the head person at the time told them, listen, this is not the good time. You don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just saw, you know, listened to their counsel and didn't do it. The second time, it was reported already. It's come out since. It was President Obama who told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, not now. It's an election, not now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may hear that Israel has said several times, they're not just talking about it. They're not just bluffing. They're going to do this. And they're not afraid to do it. They've done this already. Back in 1981, Iraq was trying to get a nuclear reactor. They were trying to get nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel, in June 7, 1981, flew in these airplanes and just annihilated the thing, just blew it up.
Oh, wow.
And the whole world condemned them at the time. The UN, surprisingly, right? Really just, they even tried to put sanctions on them. The United States, for a couple of weeks, said they weren't going to send some military aid, which, of course, 2 months later, they sent them the aid.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until many years later that President Clinton said that, you know, he said it was actually a very wise thing that Israel did in taking them out. Mm. It was a very wise thing. Listen, sometimes you got to make right decisions. You got to be willing to stand alone and not look for popularity, but do the right thing. And by doing that, who knows? I mean, we know now in history and context what has happened with Iraq. Who could have got in there right now and got all those chemical weapons? It's still unsecured. I mean, there's so many things, so many unknowns right now. Thank goodness that Israel not only helped to spare themselves, but they've probably spared us and many other nations of the world. I want you to listen to the rest of this video as they continue to share you more details about why Iran cannot have nuclear capability. Listen up.
Achievable, you could mean a strategic electromagnetic pulse attack.
An EMP weapon, meaning a small nuclear bomb, detonated above the center of the United States would literally take down the entire power grid of this country.
In the early 80s, Iraq was well on its way to completing construction of its own nuclear weapons. In 1981, the Israeli Air Force destroyed the Oserak reactor, preventing Iraq from becoming a nuclear power. At the time, the world predictably condemned Israel. The United States did as well, but a mere 10 years later, the U.S. was thanking Israel for saving the world from the perils of a nuclear Iraq. When terrorists hijacked Air France Flight 139 full of Jews and held them hostage in Entebbe, we didn't appeal to the UN or seek diplomatic negotiations. In the most daring and miraculous rescue mission in history, we acted decisively, freeing the hostages and bringing our fellow Jews home. The international community should have learned the futility of appeasement of evil, of attempting to pacify tyrannical dictators. It just gives them the time they need to build their strength and implement their dark and murderous schemes. In Israel, we know this. We simply can't afford to wait for the possibility that the international community will garner up the courage to support us. It'll be too late. Too late for us and too late for the world. As the nation of Israel, we have been assigned the responsibility of being a light unto the nations. And as that light, we not only have the right to defend ourselves, but the obligation to defend the rest of humanity.
To be the light to the rest of the nations,
and they are. It's amazing what they're doing now. I mean, some of everything shifted, and now Israel's taken their place in the world.
Yeah, and you think about it. I mean, look. We've had the opportunity at the Dream Center to see a certain perspective of how Israel has been blessed and all the different things that have occurred in Israel. I mean, the technology, the inventions, all the different things that come out. You're seeing God bless a nation, and you better be careful. You better be careful when you're poking your finger in the chest and in the eye of the apple of God's
eye. That's right.
Because let me tell you, God's not going to stand for that. He is the Iron Dome, and he is going to be the one that protects Israel. And it's important for us as a Christian, from Christian's perspective, of course, to stand with Israel, to support Israel. I mean, right here at VFN Radio, I mean, we stand for God and country, and of course, Israel, and we partner. Mm-hmm. We partner with those that are in Israel right now with different ministries that support spreading the gospel, and we want to partner with the Jewish people. Listen, this is your chance. Don't fall asleep. We don't have the luxury of checking out, if you will. You can't check
out. Cognitive dissidence, is what he said.
Yeah, you can't check out. You have to be engaged. Mm-hmm. The threat is real. And Iran and anyone else that has chemical weapons and nuclear weapons must be stopped.
Pull up so we can get the definition of dissidents. So as he's talking, it was a lot of times like, yeah, whatever that is, we're not. And it's very important. It's very important. Cognitive, you're talking about your brain. Your brain can't go to sleep. You're going to have to use them. I mean, think about it. He gave you feet. You use those every day.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you eyes. You use those every day. He gave you a mouth. Hey, we're in America. Mm-hmm. What, 60, 70% of us are overweight. We're using that. And he also gave us what? Hands. He gave us ears.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us a brain.
Right.
And even, then he even tells us above all else, you know, seek knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Give us the definition of this thing.
Yeah, according to this definition, it says it's basically when one reality collides with another reality and you don't have the ability to say, I'll pick reality A instead of reality B. You have to figure out a way to coexist with the current reality, and it usually produces some kind of dysfunction.
You shut down because you can't. You're in a quagmire. The mm-hmm. reality is that this is too serious. You say, well, I pick no reality, as if that works.
Well, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now in the context of America. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that is everything, which is divided, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, any nation, every nation, divided will not stand.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And every family divided will not stand. It's amazing how everybody comes with all these theories why marriages in the church now are not together. I'll tell you why. Because they're divided.
Yeah.
They're divided. They're buying into the cognitive dissonance of America's concept of marriage versus right. saying it's not that complicated.
So it's not rocket science.
Yeah. It's not rocket science. And the thing about it is that if you don't like the context of walking in marriage, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it's like oatmeal. You know, if you can, it's not sin if you do it, and it's not mm-hmm. sin if you don't. But if you move, if you marry into cognitive dissonance, mm-hmm. another opinion, then you're going to spend, you know, you're divided.
That's right.
And anything, even a family divided, will not stand. And you say all the, it's money, it's communication. No, it's actually 97% of us not reading the Word of God, what it says about mm-hmm. marriage. And just saying, you know, God's changed. He's different now. He's not the same yesterday and day forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's funny, though, when you go to work and you're the supervisor there, you're the boss there, you're the founder of the company, it's just kind of normal. It's like, okay, we don't need anybody having cognitive dissonance here.
That's right.
Because you're going to have a, you know, cognitive application process of finding a new job
That's
here.
That's right.
But when we go to marriage and family, it's like, hey, it's okay to have all that. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, Jesus said, if it's divided, it'll fall. It may still be standing like Saul was standing after he was removed from the kingdom, but it mm-hmm. fell. It fell a long time ago, and God knows exactly why it fell.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have to answer for being a dissident of God's ways when he said, this is what happens. And Israel's saying, if we don't, what he just said, John, that if we are divided on this, we're going to fall.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be amazing if America realized, hey, because we're like split right down the middle. It's everything's feeding into, and it's trying to move over the 50 percentile line.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, even if it stays 50-50, we won't stand. It just doesn't happen. And what begins to happen when the church gets in agreement and not divided from God, and we say, you know what, we're not in a cognitive dissonance, or our heart's not in conflict with God. We just want to walk with him. He's right. Let every man be a liar.
That's right.
You know, and God be the truth. And it's just so much wisdom that is being shared from Israel. We need to listen up. If you want to hear some sane speeches and sane conversation, and it's very amazing because it's setting things up, because there will be a day.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a day that a king, a Jewish king named Jesus, well, his throne will be set up in Jerusalem, and all these folks are trying to do all their, you know, Alinsky tactics
darkness.
And darkness and Lucifer, whatever. He knows his days are short. In the context of that, but all these kings will come and pay tribute right there. He's going to be so bright. He is so bright. This king that we're talking about, King Jesus, and that's why he's working as hard as he can, Satan is, because we're not going to need moon or stars anymore, because everybody will get their light from the king
mm-hmm.
who's ruling in Jerusalem. That's just amazing. Totally amazing. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven
and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this out of this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed that segment, we're just talking about Israel. You need to find out about it because this is where America stands today. We stand divided. Mm-hmm. But it's not about getting, it's not about getting America organized. It's about getting the church organized with God. And church is not your building. Church is a people. It's about you and me. Mm-hmm. We got to say, you know what, God? You know, we got to be like Nehemiah and begin to pray and say, dear God, forgive us.
Yeah.
You know, we've sinned against you. Our fathers have sinned against you. And don't worry about people's opinion about that. If God says it's sin, we just got to call it what it is. Mm-hmm. That's all he wants. And then he will forgive us if we say, okay, God, by your grace and your mercy and in view of your finished work on the cross, I'm just going to believe you're going to empower me to walk this walk out before you. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, everything stops. Everything's not so encouraging to me was, the big question we had about, Michael Padilla that I talked about was, are we Jeremiah, the season of Jeremiah? Are we the season of Josiah? Are we the season of Daniel? And they're very three different times. I mean, you can imagine what it was like for Jeremiah. Nobody was listening. Everybody thought they were right and thought Jeremiah was wrong. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And they hated to hear Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah, when Jeremiah spoke, it caused them to feel like if he is right, then we're wrong and we don't want to be wrong. I believe God's changed. And so they would actually imprison him, beat him, just to treat him terrible. And what they were really doing, they were saying, this is how we feel about your ways, God. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening today. You know, of course, Michael Padilla, he's comparing America with Romania, probably in all these different areas. Mm-hmm. He's got an orphanage over there. He's like, Jeremiah, after thoughts. But I know that when we first, and we know that God has established us, and this truly is a network God is building.
Yeah.
And if his hand comes off of it, it falls. And if that's what he does, we're okay with that, whatever he wants. But in the context of this, that he called us to be exactly where we are geographically, called us to do, spoke to people around the nation to be able to come be a part of what's going on, to play a role in the VFN Dream Team in regards to what God is losing within an apostolic center on the Gulf Coast. And but today launched for our audience, and we give a big shout out to all of our audience in WHBR, which is on the Gulf Coast. It's almost, if you look at the SWAT of space that with the hurricanes really came in, Ivan and Katrina and all that. That's pretty much the coverage area, mm-hmm. which has been plowed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And but now, because thanks to WHBR, we're able to speak to you, and you can see us on WHBR Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time, and catch us 24/7 on our app or at vfntv.com. You can find out more. But the day that we launch for the region that God called us to establish, what you're now listening to, because we're going to transplant to a hub state, you know, mm-hmm. in Dallas, and we were excited about that, and we were like, man, we were Texans. That was it. But you know, Jay-Z's, I was just like, oh, great, great. Elijah's hanging around. Anyway, so, and so the first day that we began to broadcast to the Gulf Coast, because we're obviously broadcasting around the world, is this new watch just stopped. It just stopped. And I don't know. I'm not telling you. You know, I'm not into, you know, but God is into to just showing us. And he does things to show us things. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened with Josiah, because there was great destruction that was, God said, that I'm going to bring to Israel. Even though he had a covenant with Israel, he's going to bring great destruction there because of all the innocent bloodshed. And America's shedded a lot more innocent blood than Israel did at that time. And with that, so Josiah got the word, read the word, repented, began to make right decisions, and because he was king, he was able to begin to remove all the darkness from the nation. And God just said, you know what? You know, you're one of the greatest kings that's ever lived before you or after you, what you've done. I mean, because of your stand, and what that is like, I mean, he didn't have as much repentance to do as much as to actually find God, because they kept God from him. They never let him know the word until that day he sent the carpenters down to do it. But as soon as he did this, and the first time he heard the word, now how many people in America has heard the word and they don't even pay attention to it? Mm-hmm. The first time Josiah heard the word, he responded to it, and he knew God is angry with us. He ripped his clothes. He personally repented. He went in front of the nation, and he repented, but he also brought people to repentance, set out teachers to begin to teach the words of God that was actually hidden by the religious folks of the day. And God just put everything on pause. Time stopped.
Right.
It was going to happen. I mean, so it was going to happen at Nineveh. God, when God sets a plan, you know, and fashions a storm or a sword against the nation, that's what he says he's going to do. But he will send somebody to give us one last chance.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He's just so loving.
He's patient.
He's very patient. And he says, you know, if this is happening in a storm, I'm fashioning a sword against the nation. If my watchman that they've chosen that's on the wall, if they will warn the people, and long story short, they can change. They can turn. Mm-hmm. They can turn. If they turn, then it all stops. And it is proof positive with Josiah. It was proof positive with Jonah, with Nineveh. And there was a pause with Israel. Because as soon as Josiah died, it went, and that's what God told him. He says, we're going to pause with your life. When your life is over, it's going to pick back up with your son again. And that's when it's going to happen. And the reason why is because the son continued in darkness. He had the opportunity to be a Josiah. And if you have not yet listened to Josiah, you need to go to VFNTV.com and listen to it. Listen, truly, we do not waste 1 minute. 1 second. We're not trying to stimulate anybody's religious ear. Every word is painstakingly sought out and comes from a broken heart of one of abiding with God. And you need to hear this word, Josiah, because he was a king. He was a king. Well, the king can just go, this is you know how it is. Mm-hmm. And they begin to change things. And people say, yes, right, we don't have kings here. You know, we have elected presidents and all that. No, those are representatives. They're not in this paradigm. In America, the kings are the people. Mm-hmm. It's we the people. We're the ones that issue the edicts. That's what kings do. They issue edicts. When King Josiah said, we're going to live by God's word, he issued out a writing and said, this is what's going to happen. And the king did it, said it, and that's going to be it. Well, you understand, in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. Mm-hmm. So you are Josiah. Mm-hmm. The question is, will you respond like Josiah? Will you respond like Josiah? And instead of reading over the word like it's no big deal, begin to abide and go, God, this is me you're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is me. I want to repent. I want to rip my clothes and just say, dear God, forgive me. I see that you're angry with me. And then begin to your sphere of influence and begin to speak to your representatives and let them know your values and just tell them right up front. Mm-hmm. Tell them right up front. And you never know that God could just put a pause on and to say, for your generation. And in the context of that, when the watch stopped the day that we moved into the region that God wanted us to be in, And things turned, and the first day on WHBR, when VFN Radio, VFN TV is being broadcasted to the you know, over 500,000 homes and potential 1.4 million audience reach from Mississippi to Destin, it stopped, and I'm like, whoa, Lord, we're just hanging. Yeah, we're gonna say we're gonna believe. I mean, why would he be doing? Why would he send Jonah if he did not want to forgive and to restore Nineveh? Mm-hmm. You know, why would he touch King Josiah's heart to go get the word just to see if he would actually respond to it? Why would he send Samuel to tell them one more time, do you really want a king? Do you really want to reject me? Because that's the God that we serve.
Right.
I mean, don't throw your hands up and say it's over. It's over if you actually think it's over. But if you, it ain't over till God says it's over. But if you say, you know what? I'm going to begin with me. I'm going to look at the man in the mirror and I'm going to begin with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look intently and study the word of God. And you know what? And I'm going to go listen. I'm going to go to VFN TV. At VFNTV.com, and I'm going to listen to Josiah. And then I'm going to listen to the state of the nation. I want to find out what's the state of my nation, which I'm the king over, right? Mm-hmm. We the people. Mm-hmm. So I'm Josiah. And it takes a lot of us Josiahs to get together the way the representative government is set up here. But at least if you start issuing edicts, if you start talking to your representatives, God sees that there's a desire, that there's hope. And he said to Abraham, he said, when Abraham said, listen, if there's 10 righteous folks, if there's 10 righteous folks, would you not spare it?
Right.
Would you not spare it? And it's like, listen, there are people here in America that if we stand up, God will spare this nation just because those folks stand up for God and say, you know, I'll be a light in the midst of this darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Light in every single state, light in every single city. But if 97% of us are not in the light and in the word that the Josiah read, if we're not in the context of that, then it's over in the context of that, because we're going to have to repent, which means we have to know what God wants us to do and do it after seeking forgiveness. And it's so important. If you have not yet, and realize that's what happened on the first day of the broadcast during what I believe is going to be a glory zone, is that if we listen to God, no matter what happens on the earth, no matter what happens in the nation, God can protect, set angels about a region that says, God, you are a God. We acknowledge you. And your ways are our ways. Forgive us for the sins of our fathers and the sins of the past and the present sins. We want you to be the Lord of our life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an N something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it. And, of course, et cetera, et cetera. Abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak, and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are in the last quarter of the program today, and we are pumped up talking about the Word of God. It's been a busy week, as you can tell by John's face. I mean, it's like that, the left side has been busier than the right side. Look at that. He's not even smiling at me,
dude,
Pat.
Come on.
He's not even smiling at me. Oh, there you go.
That's called under the bus.
What happened to the segue?
Our
viewers are probably thinking you're upset with them or something.
I'm not upset. That's the way to get a smile.
There you go.
That's the way to get a smile. Don't the bus.
That's good. Yeah,
yeah, I see teeth. Wow.
All right.
Turn down.
Right. Well, yeah, it's been a busy week. We've been working so hard. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we have.
We recorded last night for VFN TV late into the night. We got some segments coming. Listen, God is raising up outposts. He's raising up hope. And he has not left for himself a witnesses. There's witnesses everywhere. He's going to rise up. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that we have a television program on WHBR on the Gulf Coast with 1.4 million audience potential reach. But we believe we're going to be syndicated all around the nation to be able to bring encouragement to every city in the nation. It's time to have a light, L-I-G-H-T, conversation with everybody. Because even the rich young ruler that walked away from Jesus, you know what he would hear on VFN radio? Even when you walked away from him, he still loved you. Mm-hmm. Which means at any moment you can actually come back.
Oh, yeah.
You can come back to him. Well, we're talking about the tactics, and this is the last tactic for today. And we have four more left, including this one. So after this, there's only three more left. But it's a tactic from Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky. And the reason why we're talking about it is because God gave us, we went for a time of prayer and fasting for 7 days to be able to seek the voice of the Lord and what's going on. And he showed us organizing. He showed us Guy Fawkes, what took place in the very first parliament that took place for King James the First, and they were wanting to blow up the parliament there. Mm-hmm. And when you see those masks, those Guy Fawkes mask on, this the mask with the mustache on it, that's Guy Fawkes. And that's what people are saying when they're wearing those masks, whether they know it or not. But they're being organized, and they're being organized in the context of that, of saying that, and this is what God showed us, they really don't know what they're really, really doing.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the 13 tactics, they know this. You know, they say they don't know what they're going. You just got to keep them focused, keep them, you know, new things happening. But in the context of that all of a sudden, there's going to be a moment where people just buy into this organized effort, and they're gonna put on that mask per se, and it's just going to morph. And it's like all at that point, there's going to be a transformation,
mm-hmm.
a transformation. And the spirit that was on Guy Fawkes was about destroying your access to God's word. That's what was happening. Because King James is the one that had the official 1611 King James Bible that came out of the Hamilton Conference that God systematically, you have not heard America, how we got here and how we stay here. You can actually hear about all that. But they wanted to stop it because he was a Catholic and he was upset, a minister in the Catholic Church, and he wanted to stop these Protestants from having the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what King James wanted to do, and what they actually, you know, helped him do, and they came and presented it. So we got to have a common Bible that we're all using, and of course it's the Geneva Bible, and then the King James Bible came. And so it's just real exciting to understand that, but also to understand that's the reason why we're talking about it, because he showed us that these people were being organized, and then once they were organized, and there's that in and out, everything's fine, then one day it just morphed, and they put these masks on, and they couldn't get it off. It just became part of their faces, and it was like somebody that was doing that to them, and people were easily being taken advantage of in the context of this. And that's why we're talking about these 13 organizing tactics. Is America being organized and the world being organized? And we're finding out at this point, pretty much every tactic's been used. But our president taught it for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to find out now, there's so much to say. There's so much to say in the context of this. But we're just going to kind of brush over it and kind of give you more on the torch. But this is the 10th tactic of the Alinsky tactic, be able to organize, which is... comes out of a book that he dedicated to Lucifer, was the first one to use these tactics. This is the 10th tactic from the 13 tactics from Rules for Radicals for Organizing. The major premise for tactics, and that's what we're talking about, different tactics. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Let me say that again. This is the 10th tactic. The major premise for tactics, that's the things we've been talking about, is to develop the development of an operation, an organized effort, an operation, mm-hmm. operations that will maintain the constant pressure upon the opposition. He goes on to explain a little bit more. It is this unceasing pressure, this unceasing, unrelenting, it's like nonstop. I mean, think about it, from the time that this organizer got in, it's like it's just been nonstop. It is this unceasing pressure that results in the reaction from the opposition that are essential for the success of the campaign. In other words, the constant pressure is to get you to react.
Mm-hmm.
But as Christians, it doesn't matter what people are doing. We got to find out how does God want us to be?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so we're looking at the light perspective. Okay, that is a Lucifer tip for the day from Alinsky's book, which our president taught. By the way, the front of the book's dedicated, the front of Rules of Radicals is dedicated to Lucifer, and the back of it's dedicated to Barack Obama prior to being president. And Hillary Clinton, who is wrote a thesis in her university when she was graduating on Alinsky's model of organizing, mm-hmm. and they sealed it when President Bill Clinton became president. They sealed her paper, mm-hmm. I mean, a term paper sealed.
I'm a first lady at that. She's not an elected official or anything.
Yeah, right.
Somebody has that paper. I don't know if it's... If we'd like to be able to read that paper. You send it to us. But it's just interesting reading, I'm sure.
Interesting.
But still doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It's, you know, for us as Christians, what does God say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does God say? And so here we are. And you say, what happened during his... our president's first administration and... in the context of that, well, you have a community organizer who understands these tactics, and we're understanding what is the church perspective, because Christian perspective, because JJ,
mm-hmm.
that where do the Jews and the Christians come out on this? You know, you need to know that, and you'll probably see a link to JJ. JJ means, what about the Jews and what about the Christians? Well, Jesus was a Jew, and obviously you make a choice for Jesus. And despite all the goodies, you know, what happens to the Christians in the gospel through all this? And so... You think, well, what's happening here? And you cannot sit here and say that our president, who we need to honor him and realize that we pray for him. We've been praying for him and his wife, Michelle, the first mm-hmm. lady. We've been praying his daughters. We've been praying for the cabinet. We've been praying for years now, mm-hmm. for 24 hours mm-hmm. every Monday. And because we know from the very beginning when God spoke to us that there's been a setup, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
There's been a setup. But as things begin to unfold, I'm listening to Sean Hannity, the President Barack Obama's pastor,
mm-hmm.
was being talked to, and he's talking about him being, you guys don't understand, he was selected before he was elected. Hmm. As a matter of fact, listen right now. This is Pastor Jeremiah Wright speaking to a group of folks based on the understanding of how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up.
Adding that Barack Obama was selected before he was elected. You didn't select him. He's accountable to the ones who selected him and who paid for him to be the president.
And that's so important because, you know, pretty much when you're running for a president of a nation, that happens to any president. Mm-hmm. It's like, who am I going to bring in alignment and be in alignment with? It's because it takes a lot of finances to be there and that type of thing.
You raise $1 billion. I mean, yeah. Hello.
And it matters who your friends are because, you know, things are going to be due. Well, what we're seeing is, in the context of it, we're going to hear in just a moment, is at the John F. Kennedy Library prior to... when it was still Hillary Clinton, Senator Obama, and what was the other candidate with the perfect hair?
Oh, John Edwards.
John Edwards. They're running. So they're sitting here talking. You have a panel. Yeah, it's panel talking here, and they're talking about the very thing that we are. And it sounds like when you hear the context, and we're going to make this whole thing available to you, you can listen to it. You know, I'm the kind of, you know, I'm the kind of person that I listen to stuff with intensity.
Context, other
people
absolutely.
Go, people just go, oh, I don't want to hear all that. So we're just going to play one part of it. And in the context of that, is, you need to oil that probably. You know, you need to oil that.
That knee of yours.
Yeah, I know. That's, that knee is something else, jeez, isn't it? Well, you're going to be hearing here right now from the John F. Kennedy Library, and we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch, is... Robert Kuttner, speaking on behalf of a transformational, and they're all, this was a panel of Kyle, Kay Sunstein, him, and some others that are talking about, you know, we need a transformational president. And they asked Kay Sunstein here, they said, what, you know, if you had a name, you know, transformational presidents, who would it be? And of course, the first one was Woodrow Wilson.
Great. FDR, right?
Yeah, FDR was one of them, and he kind of talked about him, but we're not going to be able to play all that for you today. But understand, this is before he was in office, and according to his pastor who married him, Reverend Wright, who married our president and Michelle, he mentored him, and I don't know, 20 years, supposedly, that it was in, under his leadership, a student of so he's saying, listen, it sounds like he's trying to help people understand that this is how things work. He's been selected before you elected him. So they have, I mean, remember these meetings where you saw all these candidates kind of go off into a room, you know, a hotel room or something, and they come out and they go, okay, it's going to be her, it's going to be him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was a selection process more than likely. But in the context of that is like, but what was the purpose? Well, today, you know, you hear people saying, you're Christians saying that, you know, he's transforming the country, he's transforming whatever. And, you know, Ronald Reagan did that. And so it's not necessarily a negative thing, but the thing is that, but who was the ones that selected him, and what are they transforming us to?
There's good transformation and there's bad transformation.
So let's hear Robert right now, and you can see this whole thing, as they're talking about when they looked at Senator Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and...
Jonathan Edwards,
and listen to what they're saying here.
To write... on 2008 is a potentially transformative moment.
So he's talking about 2008 is a transformative moment. Realize that President Barack Obama has not been chosen as the president yet. So you can't say that President Barack Obama has done all these things. And the fact is, this transformational progressive mindset was happening prior to him even getting there. Before he's even getting there. Although he did teach... the tactics, and he did in regards to the Linsky tactics for 4 years, but then you merge that with this folks who, and that's what happened to Woodrow. And you can hear about more about Woodrow, and hopefully there's a link on this about Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson. He was at a university, and they had some progressive individuals that came to him, and they looked at him, and when he would give his speeches, his students would stand up and applaud him.
He's a good talker, good yeah. orator,
right? And so in the context of, they say, they begin to discuss their agenda with him. And they said, yeah, we like this. And so they ran him for the governor of Jersey. And eventually he became the president. And he had his own mind, too, in the context of that. And he went to accomplish other things. But it's kind of some same contextual things that are going on right here. So he was selected. Woodrow Wilson was selected before anybody elected him. That's what I'm talking about in the context of this. We're going to finish this up and get right back from this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
John, one of my last jobs, you know, at the as a deputy sheriff was a school resource officer. It was called ESIL, which stands for Expanded Educational Agricultural Laboratory. I was like, okay. It's a farm, you know, with kids. It's like the last chance particular school they had in their district right there. There's a lot of different things going on, you know, different. I thought, you know, all these kids need just somebody to be able to just kind of father them. And I had all these wrong ideas about how it was going to work. But, you know, one of the things that they did was they wanted to be able to have a golf tournament. It's called Best Ball Golf Tournament, where you have to get several of the teachers together, go out on a golf course to be able to play ball. And the best ball, based on my understanding of it, is that you have a group of people and each of you hit a ball in your group, and you have several groups playing each other, and whoever hits the best ball, you play off that ball. And, of course, I know what a hook is. And I know what a slice is, which is not what you want. And I didn't play golf. I kind of hacked at golf. You know what I'm saying? I was hacking at it. And these guys were merciless. It was just totally terrible. And I kept on trying to hit the ball, you know, in a certain direction, but it'd go in a total different direction. And finally, I was on a putting green. And I thought, this is it. I am almost there. I am almost there. My ball lands, and I'm going to knock it in. And finally, one of these teachers looks at me and says, just pick your ball up. I'm like, you know, I can't believe that. Of course, I didn't have the best ball at that point, but this is what happened. This is what I got to tell you why. This is so important. So we get back, and this particular teacher was one of the guys who worked with the students in the agricultural area. And so he had sort of like a shed, if you would, of where his some of his equipment was and his file cabinets. And there's this file cabinet, four-door file cabinet, that has a metal rod that you slide down to lock the whole file cabinet up. So you have to raise it higher than the file cabinet and you're lowering it down. So it's the same day now. The same day the boy makes in front of my golf. He's out there fixing to lock up his file cabinet, and he lifts that rod up to slide it down into the file cabinet, and lightning, I'm telling you, lightning comes down and strikes that rod and comes right through him and goes right into the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
He's okay. It did erase his credit card, all the little magnetic strips on his credit cards. But he comes in, he's just shocked. Obviously, his hair is kind of sticking out a little bit. But yeah, he's okay. He's nothing happened to him physically. But he looked at me, total hair sticking out, you know, frazzled. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever make in front of my golf again.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about the 10th tactic from Alinsky's 13 tactics here with our president taught for 4 years prior to being president. And they say the major premise for tactics is to develop the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. And we're finding out right here that we just heard from our president's previous pastor, I guess for about 20 years, one that married him and mentored him, Reverend Wright. He says that you don't understand that he was selected before he was elected, before you even thought about electing him, that they selected him to be the one that you would be the one. So there is, this is, these folks are talking, the John F. Kennedy Library, prior to him being selected, they're talking about who they're going to select in the context. They're talking about being progressive in the context of that. And this is in Boston, of course. But let's finish up. So listen to Robert.
She instead agreed to sit still for an interview, which we did. And we both felt in that interview, which was the germ of this book, which is dedicated to Doris, that Obama faced both the kind of crisis that could be a transformative moment and had things in his character that might allow him to be a transformative president if he could first get elected. And I think it's interesting that a lot of people, a lot of progressives like me, looked at Edwards, looked at Hillary Clinton, and looked at Obama, and if you just parse it out in terms of their stance on issues, Edwards was the most progressive, Hillary was a little more progressive on a lot of issues, Obama was the most centrist, but I think a lot of liberals gave him a pass on the issues because they saw in him the seeds of a potentially great leader. And I think whether he would be a great president if elected, and whether he manages to get elected, are increasingly becoming the same question. Does he have the nerve to stand for transformative change? In this case, economic change. I mean, what you have today is you have a very serious financial crisis on top of a slow-burning 30-year, not a crisis, but a weakening of the economic security and economic prospects of ordinary Americans.
So the question that they're asking is they're trying to see who they're going to select for their candidate is their values are progressive values. Can he transform the nation? Can he can Hillary transform it? Can Barack Obama transform it? Can John Edwards transform it? It's like, who said we needed to be transformed?
Exactly. Yeah, right.
That was the whole, I mean, the whole argument begins with, we have our founding fathers, 150 plus years coming of the death of King James I, who wrote at the Hamilton Conference to be able to bring the Bible, the Word of God, to men where we could understand the context of that. And within 150 years after his death, they were signing the Declaration of Independence because you could have one nation under God. And that you look at what they wrote. It's not what a lot of people who are against God say. There's like 27 different reasons, I believe, in the Declaration of Independence. Taxation without representation was just one of 27. And then when you read the Constitution that was written 12 years later after the Declaration of Independence, then you're finding out this is what their intentions were. And so the Declaration of Independence, and then in 1791, when the Bill of Civil Rights was available for us, they were assuring the rights for each individual citizen that says, you know, you have a right to worship God, you have a right to be able to assemble, you have a right to be, the government makes those laws concerning your religion, and on and on. And it's the fact that we don't want to transform this.
Mm-hmm.
And what you sense here, if you watch this whole two-part, and it's called transformational presidencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were looking to select someone. That's why you can't just point your finger at a front man. And besides, as Christians, we need to honor our president no matter what, because God will honor us in the context of that, but also honor your neighbor because they're the ones that truly are the leaders of the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, government by the people and for the people. But in that, you know, based on what the Lord has told us, is that this has been a setup, right? It has been a setup, and people are using, and like they use Woodrow Wilson to be able to bring their agendas in. And Woodrow Wilson's last days was spent in deep depression, in a room where his second wife that he married when he was in office would go back and forth and carry legislation alone by herself, and have him sign it and then bring it back out again. And she was a Washington socialite. You can, you know, see this in on the VFN Torch and understand we're seeing, you know, almost 100 years later, this 100-year plan unfold of progressives and saying they want to fundamentally transform our nation. It's like, you know, do you really want, as Christians, do you really want to leave the reason why we declared our independence? And the reason why we could is because they believed this, that all men were created equal by our Creator, and that you could, and all of our rights come from God, not from government. And so that was the founding concepts of our country. Mm-hmm. Then they wrote out our Constitution, which was what we're made up of, that spelt it out, that we hold, you know, we hold these truths, and we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. You have the preamble there, but it kicks off, the first thing it kicks off is the Congress. And the first part of the Congress is the House of Representatives, because they're your representatives. Do you really want to, even though the representatives don't appear to be doing their job, or actually they're somewhat, you know, standing up, you know, but not, you know, they're, things are being locked up because they're standing up, which is, you know, they're representing you. Mm-hmm. But in the context, do you want to transform all this?
Yeah.
Do you want to transform this? I mean, when you have Puerto Rican golfer.
Chichi Rodriguez.
Yeah, the American Puerto Rican golfer, Chichi Rodriguez, saying, I can't even have any government funding in my middle school. I'm trying to help these kids because I want them to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's like federal money, federal flag, a federal union. It's like, don't we just,
hello?
It's just the same thing. They're trying to fundamentally transform us. And it's happening because the church has gone to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's because of the cognitive dissonance towards God,
right,
as we heard earlier on. And all we have to do is be Josiah and begin to say, you know what? I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to begin to serve the God of the Word. And I'm going to begin to live my life when it starts with repentance. And if everybody leaves me who wants to go in darkness, and they will leave you when you start walking in the light. They want to stay in darkness. But that will not happen outside of condemning you and criticizing you and basically polarizing and targeting and all the different Lucifer tactics against you. But you know what? He says we can put on the armor of God. We can begin to walk out. But if we'll do this, there's hope. There's hope for the nation, even with the innocent bloodshed that's going on. So in the context of that, this 10th tactic, when you think about it, so they selected the candidate that people could vote for. That's what they did, and that's what they're talking about. Well, in the context of that, who was on that panel talking about the transformational presidents, and you can see this on the BFN Torch, was
Cass
Sunstein. He was on the panel talking about this. And so it doesn't look like that our president chose Cass. It looks like Cass chose our president. Hmm. People say, you know, look who he's putting around him. It's like, no, look who's allowing him to be in this place and selected him. And so you're seeing that. And so all of a sudden, you know, create this organization that keeps the pressure on. What did Cass Sunstein do? Well, this is their premise. And so the premise is create as many laws and regulations as you can. And that's what Cass did. This is what was said by John Kalinowski out of Colorado when he was communicating to me through email, said that there were so many regulations put in place through this guy who was on this panel before he was selected that said that doesn't matter who's president from now on, because they put so many laws, the pressure can stay on until this puppy's transformed, until it's transformed. And so it's very important. The regulatory czar, the information czar. But this is what God's word says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. This is our answer, our light answer to it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, think about this, then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth from all the waves of all these organizers and all these Lucifer tactics. Then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and the craftiness of people and their deceitful schemes. That's what these tactics are. These Lucifer tactics are deceitful schemes. Instead, he said, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become everything, respect of maturity in the body of Christ. From the head, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. We have to come alive and get active again and be in who we say we are. Children of the day, children of light, born again believers. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together.
And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.